So as I mentioned before, I've been very struck by the mystery of the Christmas story. So I'm going to read a fairly un-Christmassy Bible passage. It's from Colossians 1 and verses 15 to 23. I read this a month ago, maybe a bit more, and it struck me just how it chimed with the Christmas story. It's not about the Christmas story, it's about God, and it's about his relationship with us. But it made me think about the very difficult and almost unbelievable idea that God came to earth as a baby to be with us, to experience life just like us, its joys, its sorrows, its suffering even. So I'm going to start by reading Colossians. I hope you can make that out, but I'll read it out anyway. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. And it's talking about Jesus. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the end. Sorry, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So you can see, I hope, where I'm coming from by bringing this verse this morning. It might not immediately seem like a Christmas passage, but it struck me that it's a really important aspect of the Christmas story. And so when Louise asked me to lead a bit of a thought before the elders' meeting, at the beginning of December, I was already thinking about the extraordinary nature of the incarnation. And so I brought to the elders something that was a bit like this. It might help if you just close your eyes for a moment and just imagine something of what I'm saying. God had known from the beginning of time that this moment would come. He had known that the time to be born on earth would be arriving soon. And through his Holy Spirit, he reached out to the young woman, Mary. And with extraordinary gentleness, his spirit reached to this egg that had been lying dormant, ready for this moment in her body since she was born, adjusting the chromosomes and the DNA and inhabiting that place. The Son of God conceived, both God and man in that moment. And the child grew within this young woman. The eggs multiplied. The baby formed. The hands, the feet, God and man together. One day, she visited her cousin. Her cousin was also pregnant. And that baby leapt within her cousin's womb to be in the presence of the Savior, of his God growing within Mary. Day by day he grew until that fateful day where Mary and Joseph were seeking a place to stay in Bethlehem. They could find nowhere, but the innkeeper let them use the stable. And there, possibly to Joseph's considerable dismay, he was left to bring the baby into the world with his lovely wife, Mary. And the Son of God was born in a stable. Both God and man. Born in Bethlehem. Born for us. That he might grow and live and eventually die. The Son of God. Both God and man together. You can open your eyes again now. I hope that maybe just touched something of the extraordinariness of what actually happened. As Christians, I think we can be very, very focused on the facts of salvation, which are obviously vitally important to every one of us. We all need God's salvation, God's love, God's friendship. We all need to understand that he has done a most spectacular act in order to redeem the world. But sometimes we can miss the mystery of it all and not maybe quite realize that actually it's not surprising if there's some things about this that we really do not understand. Because God the Almighty is utterly different from us, but he's made himself understandable through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's reached out to us through the Holy Spirit. In his grace and mercy, he has revealed himself through the person of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful, humble thing that he has done. I've put a slide up here that shows together the maker of the universe and a baby growing inside his mother. It's a classic picture. Here's just a baby. This is something that we have to grapple with, that the God who made everything was born as a baby. And it says in the Colossians passage, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." And yet we're also told, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." How do we pull this together? So Jesus was both the creator of the universe and all the spiritual realms and the baby born in the stable. Well, like I said earlier, I understand the meaning of the words. I can put them together. I can present them to you. But, you know, I don't think for a moment that I can understand that. Not really. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's just unbelievable in a sense. These things are beyond our understanding in just the same way as the hugeness of the universe and the tininess of the atom are not possible to comprehend. That's okay. We don't have to understand fully how big the universe is and how tiny an atom is and how empty it all is. That doesn't matter. We can still live ordinary lives. We can still, and it's the same about the mystery of God. We don't have to entirely understand every single aspect of it to be able to believe it. That's the joy of the thing. We don't have to understand something to know the truth of it. This is a vital issue, I think, in this modern world, because many people can't understand what we believe. They think, well, if you believe in something that I just don't get, well, actually, our response could just as easily be, well, you believe something that you just don't get as well, because none of us can get our heads round some of these things. I mean, it's the case of all sorts of things in the modern world. Have a look at this. Okay, so that is a micro SD card, okay? So it is about this size, as you can see from the picture. I've got one at home. It takes 32 gigabytes of data. You can get them up to 128 gigabytes now. Peter, do you understand how we get all that data onto a card like that? Well, there you go. So there's no chance for the rest of us. If Peter doesn't know how it gets on there, I don't. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, 128 gig of data on that tiny thing. Obviously, somebody understands it. Well, I'm actually not entirely sure they do. No, somebody must understand it, mustn't they? But we don't need to understand it in order to be able to stick all our data on this tiny little card, take lots of photographs and, you know. I asked Alexa, does anybody know who Alexa is? Yeah. Okay, Rowena and Gavin gave Jenny and me Alexa for last Christmas. It's really nice. You can ask her all sorts of questions. Doesn't know as much as Google, but hey, she's good enough. it's a tiny little thing about this sort of size that responds to your voice. So I said to Alexa, Alexa, how many stars are there in our galaxy? That's really handy, you know. She said, there are 300,000 million. Okay. Depends how you count billions, but it's 300 billion in the way we normally do it these days. So that's a lot. That really is a lot. How many galaxies are there in the known universe? Oh, only 2,000 billion. If you assume that all the galaxies are the same size, which obviously they aren't, you could multiply these two together and get that number. I'm not even going to try and tell you what it is. It's just absolutely insanely big. Nobody understands that in real terms. You know, but I'd just like to mention that a baby born in the stable and those numbers. Okay, so you get my drift. We do not understand, and we can't expect to understand. God made the universe, and it is just beyond our comprehension. Therefore, God is beyond our comprehension. And that is what we should expect. If we could understand him, well, for me, I think I'd be disappointed because I would think, well, he's not really God. He is just so completely different from us. But he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Can you combine those numbers with that stylized view? I can't. But that's good. Actually, that is really good. You might have to click me forward there, Rosemary, for some reason. Thank you. So I'd like to continue to read a little bit from Colossians chapter 1. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, as shown by your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So what we recognize is that just because we do not understand something, just because we do not understand these things, it doesn't mean that they're not true. And the exactly same thing is true of my faith. Exactly the same thing is true of my faith. I have to accept that there are things that I will never understand. You'll all be familiar with the 4 points, although I've sneakily put a slightly different second point in. These 4 points are really important to each of us, and probably most of us here will have used them in some form when we've been talking to somebody about our faith. The first one is basically saying that God loves us. That's what the heart is for. God loves us. The second says that sin has divided us. That's why I like the division sign. It's divided us from God. It's separated us from God. And now something needs to happen to create a resolution so that we can become friends with God again. Jesus came. He was born as a baby. God was born as a baby so that he could live and die for us. And then the most extraordinary thing, the resurrection, where he proves that he has power over death, any sort of death, whether it's the death of poverty, of depression, the death of drug abuse. He proves that he has power over everything, including the death that happens at the end of our lives. He has the power. The cross and the resurrection show that. And it asks us to decide, what are we going to do about us? Are we going to quibble over things that we can't quite understand? Or are we going to say, like, yeah, well, I don't understand lots of things in life. I don't totally understand how Jesus' death redeems me, but I'm still going to believe in it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to stake my faith on him. So God came down at Christmas to show his love, to reconcile us to himself, to make us pure and holy by taking his punishment, our punishment upon himself and dying horribly on the cross. So now we need to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to join with Paul and become a servant to the good news that has been spoken about and pass that on to others? Even though we know that we are imperfect in our knowledge, we're not going to wait until we have absolutely got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. We're just going to get on with it now. Because we can. We don't have to know anything, everything. We don't actually have to know all that much. We just have to know that God loves us and he's reaching out to others. And so we read a little later in Colossians 1, starting at verse 25, where Paul says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, sometimes I think that we don't realize that Paul also thought this was a mystery, but he did. He puts it twice in this passage. And it's a glorious mystery. It's not a mystery just because we're a bit dopey. It's a mystery because it's impossible for us to understand it. It's a glorious mystery. And when we're talking to people about Jesus, when we're talking to people about our faith, we need to be putting that on the table as well, that we do not understand it all. And I think people respect us more for that. And actually, I think in this age that we're in, actually, people like the idea of mystery. Some of the folks I've talked to about, you know, so their wacky beliefs. I mean, I don't like to be dismissive or anything, but, you know, it's difficult not to be. So when you actually enter into some of the mystery of our faith, that they are surprised. Because I think the problem is, as Christians, we haven't necessarily focused on that very well. So let's not be baffled by the mystery of Christmas. Instead, let's accept it. This is an extraordinary story. God made man. Completely God, completely man. Perfectly God, perfectly man. Unashamedly man, and yet still God. He wasn't ashamed to be born in a stable. He wasn't ashamed to be conceived within Mary. Let's be proud of the mystery of Christmas. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the God that we cannot understand. Mighty, wonderful God, full of grace, full of love for us. We thank you that you were so humble that you were willing to be conceived within Mary, born in a stable, living a life on the edge, and dying for us. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us not to wait until we know everything, as we never will, but to act now, to put our faith in you today, and to reach out to others with this great good news, that we may be able to bring your love into the hearts of others. Empower us, we pray, as a church, that we may reach into our community with love and joy and hope and peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. I'm going to play a song. Stay seated as it plays. If you wish to sing along, I probably do, then do. It's Here I Am to Worship. Just consider, perhaps maybe the very first line, the very first verse as it plays. Let's just use this a time for thinking together on the mystery of God.